Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I want to advance this thesis for you tonight. The First Amendment protects a series of rights that are rooted, at least in part, in a conception of human action and human purpose. Later amendments, the Fourth Amendment, for instance, protects our right to life, liberty, and property because that is intrinsic to who we are as human beings. But the First Amendment protects things that we must do in order to be happy, in the way that Jefferson and, frankly, the people of that time would have understood the term.
Now, I know if you're just woke up and you turned on the radio and you're listening to Dr. Jay Cost, who's a fellow with the American Enterprise Institute and was speaking at the Seligman Lecture Series here at UWF on the subject of preserving the freedom of the human mind, the First Amendment, and the pursuit of happiness, you're like, what just happened to me? But, you know, Stephen Covey, in his principle-centered life, you know, kind of concept, one of his principles is sharpen the saw, right? Which is the old story of the lumberjack who goes out and, you know, works harder and harder every day and gets fewer and fewer results because he never bothers to sharpen his saw, okay? Well, it's like that when you're thinking about news. Every day we can talk about the news, and that's important. And then every once in a while, you know, you need to pause a little bit and talk about the big stuff behind the news, the politics, political theory. What does the Constitution mean? What's our country all about? And, of course, I like to do that probably a little bit more than most, but that's okay. It needs to be done more than most people are doing it. So here we have a lecture on the First Amendment that was put on at UWF by Jay Cost, and it was fantastic. Like, I was soaking it in. And, for example, here he's talking about the distinction between the First Amendment, which is religion and assembly and speech and the press, right? And that in contrast with some of the later amendments where you have protections against unwarranted searches and seizures, the right against self-incrimination, unjust punishments, and so forth. And he says, the First Amendment is about doing, it's protecting actions. The later amendments are protecting being or the things that you possess.
So I have three specific types of action or telos. That
a telos is an end, is an aim, is a purpose. I hear the word teleological. That means aimed at something and an objective. He's going to use that word occasionally. And I don't want you to, you know, not know what it means.
That I want to discuss tonight, types of action. The First Amendment protects a worshipful action, a civic action, and a progressive action. And by the way, the progressive action is coming third, so it's going to take me a bit to get there. But I don't mean progressive in the way that we mean in the 21st century or even in the 19th, 20th century. It's really more referring to an Enlightenment understanding of progressivism in which the condition of man improves, including his moral condition.
Okay, worship, civic, and improvement, if you prefer. The progressive is going to probably throw some people off because that word's been co-opted by the leftists. But yeah, the three categories of action the First Amendment protects. Again, keep in mind, you know, worship and assembly and petition and press and speech, right? All of these things.
And today, usually when we think about happiness, we usually think of it in a perspective that political thinkers like Charles Taylor and Carl Truman call expressive individualism. Happiness is found from the psychological satisfaction in the expression of our inward identity. Right? It's a very common understanding now. Right? The First Amendment, therefore, protects our right to free speech because it's part of our process of self-expression, and it's through this expression of our inward identity that we are fully and truly satisfied. Now, one of my reasons that motivated me to give this talk was because this is not a telos that the generations of the early republic would have recognized, or at least if they had, they would have seen it in a very different way.
You know how some people have a skill of saying a tremendously important thing as if they're reading the ingredients from the pizza box? Now, I thought Jay actually did a great job, but what he just said is enormously important. What he's saying is this individual expressionism concept of the First Amendment, that the reason we protect people in their right to speak or worship or assemble is because it's what they want to do. It's showing who they are, and we want to protect people in their ability to, you know, have their say, stand up for what they believe in, get together and collectively express to the world what they want. And he's saying that's not what the First Amendment was built to protect. Now, it does protect that, but that's not why they did it. That's a very low-grade concept of the purpose of the First Amendment. Instead, the First Amendment is about what it means to be human, why God made us, what's the endeavor of community and society all about, what are we trying to accomplish other than the very self-oriented satisfaction of, well, I had my say, I made my sign, they've heard me. That's not what it's about. It's not that that's not incorporated, it's that that's such a shallow version of the telos, he keeps calling it, or the purpose behind the First Amendment, protecting these God-given rights for worship, assembly, petition, press, speech.
They really had a telos that is sort of a bridge between the medieval world and the modern world, today's world. You know, the medieval world had a very different understanding of what man's purpose was because they had a very thick and rich metaphysics in which human beings are sort of part of this, what historians often call the great chain of being, where God in his divine, unscrutable wisdom has organized the entire universe in a hierarchy. And your place in that hierarchy was ordained by God. And this creates a very rich metaphysic and from that a rich understanding of what our purpose is. And today, you know, the modern world, we don't really have a rich metaphysic, and so we've stripped a lot of that out.
No, that's so true. By the way, don't get hung up on the term. You know, physics is just how objects move around. Metaphysics is the rules behind the objects moving around or the fundamental nature of the universe. You know, what did God do? Not just create gravity and conservation of mass, but he created a world in which humans were supposed to live a certain way, accomplish a certain thing. What was the whole purpose, the architecture behind the world that we see? That's all metaphysics means. So don't get scared by the big words.
The First Amendment, I want to suggest to you, is unique in its teleological implications. You can't fully understand it in the same sense of Locke's life, liberty, and property trifecta.
Okay, pause it, because I know a lot of this stuff is, you know, you don't hear these words a lot, and you might not be familiar with the concept. John Locke, his idea was life, liberty, and property. That's what's actually protected explicitly in the Bill of Rights. That got changed in the Declaration of Independence to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Some would say largely for marketing reasons, but the pursuit of happiness is not an explicitly protected concept in the, you know, Constitution. Instead, it's life, liberty, and property. But still, those three things. Why? Because with your life, you act, and then the result of that act is the things that you own, whether it's possessions or reputation or condition of character. Those are all the results, your property, the things that you own as a result of the way you use the liberty protected by or made possible by your life, okay?
Right. The procedural amendments, the 4th through 8th amendments, think about those. Those are Lockean. They're meant to protect your life, liberty, and property, and they do so like at different stages in which the government is in the process of taking it from you. So you think about the 4th Amendment, that's your protections from unreasonable search and seizure, right? So like at the beginning of the investigation, the process of taking your life, liberty, or property, right? And the 5th and the 6th Amendment govern how trials are conducted, and the 5th Amendment includes explicitly that you cannot have your life, liberty, or property taken without due process. And then the 8th Amendment, the injunction against cruel and unusual punishment, is an injunction really to limit how the government can take these things from you.
You get the concept that each one protects a cluster of rights that safeguard you in the process of the government taking things away from you before, during, and then after a trial. It's an interesting way of looking at those amendments. I, frankly, had never thought of them quite that way, so I appreciate the outline.
The First Amendment is not really like that. I mean, you can understand, like James Madison, for instance, argued at one point in the 1790s that your speech is part of your property. So you can certainly understand the First Amendment in the same way, like in this sort of like, well, it's part of my property and therefore part of who I am as a human being. But there, it's really different. You know, the First Amendment is protecting human actions.
Not right? Things that you own, things that you do. again, worship, assembly, speech, press, petition, okay? And so the later amendments protect what you own, and the First Amendment protects what you do, your liberty, essentially.
And in the general consensus in the founding, man is an image bearer of God. God has, this again, generally agreed upon, has imposed, and by the way, an agreement that is not just particular sects of Christianity, but also really includes the kind of, they're often referred to as deists. It's probably better to call them theistic rationalists. So Jefferson is not going to church. He's not a Trinitarian Christian. Neither is Adams. Neither probably is Washington, Monroe, Madison, and so on. But they all sort of have a kind of, this kind of like vaguely kind of Christian view of the relationship between God and man.
The world they lived in was saturated with that.
So man in this image is an image bearer of God, and God has imposed duties upon him that have to be performed. God expects his creation to do something. And if God is imposing a duty upon people that they have to do, then civil society or government has to allow them to do it. And so this gets to the two religion clauses, right? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Also sort of, you know, the press, the speech, the assembly clauses entangle this as well.
Think about, again, the First Amendment, not so much as protecting things that you want to do as an individual, but things that God compels, instructs you to do. Wants you to do, built you to do. He built you to worship him. So we have an amendment to protect you against the government impeding your ability to sing praises and preach, right? He built you to share the gospel. So we have to have a government that allows you to speak to other people about religion. He built you to be in community, to, for example, go to church, but also to exist in civil society. And so you want to have a government restricted against impeding your ability to gather with other people and to share your ideas with them collectively in civil society. Like, the First Amendment is designed to protect the key instructions or commands of God, not just to make it so that you can paint the art you want to paint or that you can make the music you want to make. Yes, of course, that's within it, but that's not the real reason for it. And that's what he's just explaining his way through the First Amendment as compared to how we currently tend to view it and as compared to some of the other later ideas that the Bill of Rights protects.
And so this idea emerges that human beings have to, what God really wants is worship and obedience through a free conscience. That worship that is coerced is not pleasing to God. It does not fulfill your duties to God. If you're being forced to do something, then the act is actually, in God's eyes, is meaningless, right?
Right, because there's also been this idea that, well, if God wants people to do it, then make them do it. You know, if God wants something to happen, like, say, tithing, then, just tax them 10%. And if they don't pay, you throw them in jail. What do we get? We get tithing. No. The idea, you know, God wants there to be sermons. So make a law that requires everybody to attend church on Sunday. No, if you compel the things that God wants, you actually render them contrary to what he wants, because what he wants is free worship, free explanation of the gospel, free civil society, right? One that is voluntarily engaged in. And yes, you're doing something wrong if you don't do it, but that doesn't mean that you can coerce that kind of behavior. And so, again, the First Amendment is there to restrict government even in the coercion of good things, just like it is also restricting government against the prohibition of bad things in your speech, in your worship, in your assembly, in your petition, and so forth. All right, we're going to pause there. That's the first third. This is about an hour and a half speech, and we're going to go through all of it this morning and today, now in 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock, because, John, I think every once in a while you got to pause and talk about the big stuff. And I love this, the Seligman Lecture Series. I haven't listened to a lot of them. I've listened to a few of them over the years. It's a fantastic concept. The idea that you would deliberately set out to re-understand and reinvigorate our community understanding of the core concepts that make America what it is, because, you know, you had this basically man who fled the Holocaust and survived and came here and thought so much of the concepts of the First Amendment and of the Bill of Rights and of the Constitution that, gosh, we ought to talk about these in an organized way periodically at the University of West Florida. So I love the idea of this. And I know This is probably not something you're going to get in your headlines most of the time. But John, important?
Yes.
Super important. Very important. And I know at 5:25 in the morning on a given Thursday, you didn't wake up thinking, you know what I want? I want a lecture on the First Amendment. Well, guess what, buddy? You get it anyway. That's just a bonus.
Just a bonus.
You woke up expecting lollipops, and here I'm giving you prime rib, okay? 5:25 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
You've probably heard all those ads for life insurance. Just a few dollars a day, apply online in minutes, no medical exam. Simple, easy, and cheap, right? Now you're thinking, maybe I should get a quote. Well, smart thinking. Everyone should have life insurance. But here's what they don't tell you. Those few dollars a day rates, they're for young people in perfect health. That's why everyone calls Big Lou the 50 to 60-year-old not-so-perfect candidate. Like you. You take prescription meds and you're overweight. Winner, winner, fried chicken dinner. Well, Big Lou works with life insurance companies that want people like you with no surprises after you apply. In fact, if you're a 50-year-old guy with a few health glitches, Lou could probably find you $1 million of term life coverage for about $200 a month. So, yeah, you need life insurance. But unless you're young and healthy, you gotta call Big Lou, because he's like you, older, heavier, and on meds, too. Get a quote right now at 800-230-2777, 800-230-2777, or biglou.com.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 when guests from Pensacola State College will be on the show discussing everything from registration to graduation and so much more. And did you know that 91% of PSC students graduate loan-free? Learn more today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with guests from Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
Janet, you rock my world.
So the Army has selected its first tilt rotor aircraft. They're calling it the Cheyenne 2. There was a Cheyenne 1 originally, which, by the way, have you, John, are you much of, I know you're a super aviation geek or whatever, but right. When I tell you the Cheyenne 1 helicopter or the Cheyenne, you know, they don't put the number on until you've done another one typically, but have you ever seen the Cheyenne 1?
I've seen it, but
why don't you pull it up? Pull it up real quick on your end. I didn't have you do this beforehand, but because I want you to see, I want to see if you notice immediately what I think stands out the most about that particular proposed helicopter that I think never really got built, if I'm correct about that. Anyway, the newest one, the Cheyenne 2, it looks very much like an Osprey. In fact, when you look at it, you might be saying, don't we already have that? Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, largely, but the Army doesn't fly Ospreys, you know, the Marines, the Navy, the, the Air Force do, and so this is specifically for Army needs. It's a, you know, troop transport with a vertical takeoff and lift capacity and then the ability to fly forward. The MV-75 tilt rotor is the, you know, official designation or whatever. Design is from Bell. You know Bell. They make a few helicopters historically, like all of them. So, you know,
it's funny. I was watching a video on this yesterday.
On this selection?
On this Bell helicopter.
The new one? Okay.
Yes.
Now, you see the old one, the AH-56 Cheyenne. Do you see that?
Yes.
From Lockheed. What stands out? Did anything stand out to you about that design?
It looks the same as the Osprey.
Oh, no, the old one. Not the new one. The old one from, like, Cold War era. The one that, yeah, again, I don't think they really built that many of, if at all. Did you pull that one up? Here, I'll show you. This is the best radio segment there ever has been.
Oh, okay. It kind of looks like a Cobra.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a long, stretched-out cobra. Like a limousine is a stretched-out car. This looks like a cobra or a viper. Kind of the one that you see down at the Veterans Plaza, Veterans Memorial Plaza. What's the most interesting thing about it is the rear vertical fin is upside down on the fuselage.
It's down, yeah. That's
on the tail. Yeah, it points down. And actually, if you look carefully, the rear wheel comes out the bottom of what you would normally think of as the vertical stabilizer. So it's just kind of an odd little design.
That is.
But anyway, yeah, so the Army's going to be building a new generation Osprey, basically.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. A warning from U.S. Central Command to vessels in the Strait of Hormuz.
Do not attempt to breach the blockade. Vessels will be boarded for interdiction and seizure, transiting to or from an Iranian port. Turn around and prepare to be boarded. If you do not comply with this blockade, we will use force.
At 8 a.m. Eastern, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth delivers their first update on the wars with Iran since the naval blockade began. Pakistan's Army Chief meets with Iranian officials in Tehran, a senior Iranian official telling Reuters there are greater hopes for extending the ceasefire and holding a second round of talks. Could two enemies strike a ceasefire?
President Trump posting on Truth Social after a meeting, saying trying to get a little breathing room between Israel and Lebanon. It has been a long time since the two leaders have spoken, like 34 years.
Fox's Griff Jenkins of BBC reports Lebanon denies knowing about the meeting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 62 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Of course, we'll get to a forecast with Brooke Richardson from Channel 3. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, the Escambia County Board of Commissioners, the Pensacola City Council, Mayor D.C. Reeves, all holding a joint workshop meeting today at 9 a.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center. That meeting, they'll be focusing on the future of the facility with presentations from both Legends Global and WT Partnership on potential plans and a convention center analysis as well. They will not be taking public comment at this meeting as it is a workshop only. It will be live streamed on the Escambia County YouTube channel. The city of Pensacola is applying for a demolition permit for the Pensacola Motor Lodge as the negotiations continue with affordable housing developer Paces Preservation Partners on a land sale. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the permit would clear the way for the sale, but the building won't come down until a deal closes unless the CRA were to vote to demolish it sooner. Paces is proposing a 72-unit affordable housing development at that site, with units serving residents at income levels between 30 and 80% of the area median income. Because the 1940s-era building is more than 50 years old, the Architectural Review Board does have to review the demolition permit, although they can't deny it for properties outside of a review district. Every proposal the city received for the property did call for demolition of the old building. Well, David Fugett has officially started with the University of West Florida as the new general counsel today. Fugett comes to UWF from Polk State College, where he served as the executive vice president for human resources and legal affairs. He brings more than 30 years of legal experience, including previous roles at the New College of Florida and Florida Polytechnic University. Fugett says the role feels like a homecoming because his three children graduated from Escambia County Public Schools. Well, this weekend's going to be all about food in Northwest Florida.
A celebration of community and food about to happen in Northwest Florida. The town of Jay's hosting their farm-to-table event Saturday. All the food will be sourced from local farms and prepared by acclaimed chef David Penniman. It's an opportunity for the community to eat, talk, and learn more about agriculture in Northwest Florida. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And Governor DeSantis is delaying the special session he called from April 20th to April 28th. The session will now also cover artificial intelligence and vaccine exemptions in addition to congressional redistricting. DeSantis wants lawmakers to pass an AI Bill of Rights and expand vaccine exemptions for school districts. The session would wrap up no later than May 1st. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at some beautiful sunny skies today. Temperatures will warm up into the upper 70s and low 80s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 60s. Heading into Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 81. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Going into Saturday, sunny skies again, high near 82. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it is 62 degrees right now. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Artificial intelligence is still where it's at. TSMC posted a 58% profit jump driven by strong AI chip demand. Revenue beat forecasts, marking a fourth straight quarterly record. TSMC said advanced chips accounted for about 75% of total wafer revenue in the quarter. Hundreds of large Amazon sellers yesterday boycotted the online retailer's advertising platform to protest several recent policy changes. Per CNBC, Amazon announced changes to how it pays out seller proceeds and collects advertising payments while levying a temporary 3.5% fuel surcharge. The 24-hour advertising boycott was being organized by million-dollar sellers. Amid rising consumer prices, many Americans are feeling financial pressure. According to a CNBC and SurveyMonkey quarterly money survey, 56% of Americans say everyday life has become less affordable for their household compared to 1 year ago. Futures are slightly higher as optimism grows that the Iran war could soon come to an end. That's Your Money Now.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
We did see, and then multifamily had reached somewhat saturation, so you want to be a little bit careful there because you also don't want your existing units to stay vacant. So in that sense, yes, we saw that retail would do well in this area.
Now, this was a side note mentioned by Sana Dabadoy, who was the person presenting for WT, I think is the name of the company, for the Bay Center proposal. There's going to be the big meeting between the city and the county tomorrow on this, but that caught my attention because I wanted to find out more whether that's the case. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Rees, and this segment is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. And tell me, is she right? Was this just around the Bay Center or was this citywide? Do we have enough multifamily or apartment housing now? Because that's the story has been that we don't have enough affordable housing. What's the deal?
Yeah, so, glad to be here, of course. And look, I think from a multifamily perspective, you have to understand, you know, we're a city of 55,000, and it all depends on what you analyze. And there's a lot of analysis before developers spend $50 million or more, depending on multifamily, right? What's the demand? If you were to start a small business, you're going to start a small business selling something, you're going to probably want to be selling something that has some level of demand that isn't saturated within the market.
Right.
So at this point, of course, with Crest building the 300 units downtown, there's another 300 units that are being planned for next door, as well as the heart. Remember, there's a multifamily aspect to the Hard Rock at this point. So, you know, just right there alone, that you're talking about 800-ish units, and that's multiple bedrooms as well. So when you think about a city of 55,000, I mean, what's coming online in the next 24 months, just on the market rate side, this doesn't count anything at Baptist. This doesn't count anything, you know, affordability. That so it's great news that you're adding that much inventory. And just go look again at Austin, Texas right now and look at what happened with their rents when they started to build even more market rate units coming in. Is that it's the natural case of supply and demand. So if there are more units available, then that's going to help control pricing. And so that's why you always hear me say we need housing at every level, from affordable, attainable, homeless, transitional, all the way to market rate, because that starts to help control rent costs. So, that first city of 55,000, and we've got, you know, 1,500 bedrooms going online. That's a pretty sizable chunk when you compare us to our city population.
Yeah, I mean, that's 3%, and that's counting households, not people. I mean, yeah, no, for sure. So are we, because I had noticed this, that some of the rental rates seem to have come down, some of the asking price on some of certain houses, you know, that were built for, you know, this kind of market level seem to have declined a little bit. Some of the ambitious prices, I thought, for some of the, you know, like the Horton neighborhoods and stuff like that has changed a little bit. So mm-hmm. have we turned a corner, in your opinion? Are we about to, you know, on the affordability issue?
Well, what I can always use as kind of a high watermark, so to speak, is that I remember looking at a study from a New York-based company in 2018 that said we could actually take 1,600 units downtown tomorrow and the demand would be there. Well, we've come a long way when we start to have other outside objective analysis saying, hey, the market is starting to be saturated. I look at that as a good thing.
Yeah,
It means, one, people want to invest in our city, and two, you know, Andrew, I've said ad nauseum, you got to have inventory at every level. Supply is the biggest controller of rent cost is supply.
Right.
So if we can get supply, and that's why we do shotgun approaches. That's why we do Motor Lodge and Baptist and Community Land Trust and Malcolm Young. And it's the reason you attack it this way, because if you're going to sit around and wait on one project to solve your problem, you're going to be waiting too long for it to have any impact. So I'm glad that people want to invest here. I'm glad that we're getting more units online that will help control rent costs for everybody.
As I have been telling people, the meeting last Thursday, you were not at the meeting because you were traveling to LA for, you know, the American Idol stuff, among other, or maybe you were doing other things, but you weren't at the meeting anyway. Yeah. A lot of stuff came up in that meeting I want to get to. But before that, trip to LA, watching Keela Richardson advance, being at American Idol, a little bit of fun.
Yeah, it was awesome. Certainly, very grateful for the Richardson family to invite us out, and it was an incredible experience. And you know, as I just wrote on social media this morning, it's, you know, you never feel so close to a community, even being 2,000 miles away, when you see everybody, the graffiti bridge get painted and all of that support. And it was cool to be there seeing all that, because I think this is the most, obviously, as she gets further in the competition, this is the most support she's gotten. And just seeing, you know, we talked to her that day, and she's like, yeah, you know, I was on 2 hours sleep, and seeing all of that, you know, positivity coming from the city really helped energize me. And, aww, you know, she really meant that. And
that's
so
great.
So, you know, the point is, coming back to Pensacola and supporting her, not only with votes, but with well wishes, and getting to bring her all those cards and the poster from ARC Gateway and all of that. We put a photo up of her getting all that stuff. So anyway, it was an awesome experience, and such an easy family and person to root for.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see what happens. I have the inside scoop of the next song. You know, I got that too, but I'm not going to get in trouble with American Idol. So
I got
to just
wait. That makes John over is like, oh, you know, I one time heard somebody say something about going to a baseball game. He said, when I go to a baseball game, I'm not going just to watch the outcome. I'm going to influence it. And I think that's a good way for us to think about right. this too, is, you know, we can have the possibility of cheering her on and making her feel loved and talking about her and, you know, rooting her on, because, you know, maybe that helps. A couple of things. First of all, the meeting about the Bay Center tomorrow with the county, were you able to secure a ticket? Did you have to pay extra, or are you going to actually be a part of it, contrary to what Charles Bear wanted?
Yeah. No, I heard I was getting disinvited. I didn't, as far as I heard of it, like many things, from our District 2 council, I learn about them in a meeting that you hear, that Andrew McKay hears the same time that we ever hear. So right. That's normally how this goes, you know, is that we've been and then it's presented as if, you know, there was all this information given to us and we were defiant. And, but no, typically you hear your information from that district right about the same time I do. So, so we'll see, you know, if they pull, I don't know if it'll have a whoopee cushion on the chair or they'll pull it out or from under me, but, I still plan on being there. And really the goal should be, what I look at as the administration's goal is actually just trying to be the engine that collaboratively moves this forward. And I would think specifically with this council member, probably need some help in that, that category, considering the fact that, you know, probably starting off the, this conversation by saying, well, the county is going to do what they want to do. One, isn't fair to the county commission. And two is fine. If it, you can vote on anything that you'd like. My goal is I work on behalf of the citizens and the taxpayers here to move this city forward. And if I have a way to help do that collaboratively, then I think that's an important role and certainly one that I'm willing to take to try to get this thing done.
Yeah, it was a weird collage of takes, you know, how you shouldn't be involved. I don't know why we're having this meeting and they aren't very productive and the county's going to do what it wants anyway. I mean, it's like, oh, okay, just stay home then. Maybe you'll be there without a nameplate or sitting on the short chair or something. We'll see. Do you have a take?
Perhaps.
Between the, we seem to have a little bit of an internal power struggle in the community right now. The, obviously the report seemed to indicate convention center oriented facility. Then you have the DMO, the hoteliers have now come out basically and said, we want to see an activity sports related facility. There's some overlap between those two, but they are not the same. Do you have a preference? Do you want to, you may not want to say it yet, but you know how, because those are not the same thing. We kind of got to pick, right?
Yeah. I mean, now that we've got two reports back, I would say so far to me, unique to geography and location of downtown, obviously a convention center in my mind makes sense. Maybe I'll answer it inversely. I would say it would, if we were to miss out, I think missing out on having a convention center downtown versus some type of sports-based facility, which can unique, is not an unique need to be downtown the way a convention center would be geographically, doesn't mean that the validity of it existing it goes away. But I just think that there's a unique need for it specific to downtown. That all being said, and you know, this is why we're having these meetings. I mean, I think it's good conversation. And is what I've said in meetings and press conferences is there a happy medium that doesn't undercut the value of either use? In other words, it's 2026. Can we build a facility that can put on a proud convention that looks good and operates well and all that, and then still have some limited capability to use it for other purposes? In other words, being able to take walls down and be able to put in volleyball courts, things like that. Do centers like that exist? And WT has really indicated that they do. So I'm looking forward to that part of it. And maybe that's where we have to dig deep to say, all right, well, great. Let's look at three or four options. I've been saying that for a while. I'll get on a plane and fly to one. Let's look at how it operates and if it's something that we can all get behind. So I wouldn't eliminate it. We're at some fork in the road right now, this early in the game. I think let's see what these facilities can do. And perhaps everybody can, we can come up with an amicable solution that serves dual purposes.
Maybe we don't get a 10 on either, but if we get an 8 on one and a 4 on the other, we're still well ahead of where we are and we can benefit from that. That makes sense to me.
Correct.
Got so much I want to talk. The $1 million bathroom, do you want to address this? And the ability for council to see budgetary movements within your budget that they apparently gave up the ability to do and started getting that kind of feedback. This is Jen Brera's concern.
Yeah. So first of all, let's talk about transparency. I would put up our transparency against any strong mayor administration exponentially of the availability of information. I can't name one time where something was requested from any of the seven council members that we refused to provide ever. And nor would that be our standard. This is a governing body elected by the people of Pensacola the same way I was, and we will always provide information. So any presumption, salacious presumption that we're withholding information is absolute nonsense. As a matter of fact, when the council staff used to work for the administration in finance with Dick Barker, they were giving a fraction of this the level of transparency and financial information willingly over to the council and decided to make those more combative issues. We do not do that. So I just want to say that. And what's actually being referred to is there's multi-year, multi-million dollar software that we were installing because our finance software had sunset. So we already know that our finance team and the council's finance team are working diligently to get whatever information that they need. So again, it sounds salacious, but it's not rooted in any fact whatsoever.
What about the million-dollar bathrooms,
any information.
What about the
million-dollar bathrooms are actually $673,000. We're certainly proud of taking what was going to be more than $1 million and figuring out, kind of like the Portland Loos, figuring out a way to provide bathrooms at Roger Scott finally that have generation in the making that had need to be replaced and be able to do it for about 35% or 40% cheaper. So again, all it requires in both counts is just picking up the phone. You don't have to say, you know, something that is salacious in a public meeting as if to present the idea the administration's unwilling to share that information. That's absolutely ridiculous. And they all know that. So we're happy to provide any information that they ask for anytime.
I really want to talk about the small-scale affordable housing rental development pilot program. Can you give me the 30-second on this? Because I think this sounds really interesting, but it's something that even when I was listening to the conversation, I did not understand, and I want to understand because it sounds really good.
Yeah, so the two-sentence version is that we had a gap between – we had some programs to help single houses, and we have incentive programs like EDATE, like type programs that were for large scale multifamily development. But for those properties that were two units, three units, adding a garage apartment to take something, you know, that might be two, three, four, five units, and again, be able to try to attack at scale, there really wasn't any type of incentive program. So that's what this is. So if you think about the old church that John Ellis owned on A Street, this predates me as mayor, and you know, here's a building that they're trying to turn into four, five, six small units that are more affordable. Can we do something like that? So that's what the program's for.
Okay. That's finding a way for the city to help incentivize those small developments that, you know, when you add up a bunch of small ones, you get a big one. So, no, that makes perfect sense. Thank you for explaining that. And I love this project. It makes sense. All right. We always do the lightning round at the end, time allowing, and time does allow today. Your house is on fire. Sorry about that. But hypothetically, and you've got, you know, the people, the pets, and the sort of valuables and whatnot, and don't say your computer. Tell me the one interesting prized possession that you're going to rescue out of that house.
Oh, man. I would say probably Caroline's memory box, I would say, would be my number one. I can replace everything else. I can't make her repaint something from kindergarten. So,
no, I understand that.
Yeah, I would say that would probably be my number one.
Do you have any weird OCD habits? The one I used for me is I like to double click on my fob and not just see the lights flash on the car that it's locked, but hear the horn or the little bleep, bleep, you know, anything like that for you?
Maybe not OCD. I would say the one that everybody likes to comment on is what I'm actually doing right now, which is I'm a walk-in talker on the phone. So, you know, I get my steps in, but I'm not really thinking about that. I'm just, you know, helps your brain fire. And, you know, once every 6 months, someone will send me an article about, you know, how great it is when you walk and talk. I think they're just trying to make me feel good about it.
I do the same thing when I'm teaching, when I'm on the phone. I hate doing radio in the sense that I have to stand right in one place, but I always stand. I do not sit. And you've seen that for your exact reason. Last one is when you're watching a movie and you're 20 minutes in and you're bored, do you quit or do you finish?
In my old age, Andrew, I've moved to a quitter on those. I've got too much to do. I'm too busy. I can't be wasting it on subpar movie content. So
what if it's at the theater
back in my less busy years?
What if it's at the theater?
Ooh, I don't think I've ever walked out of the theater. I spent too much to get there. I think I'm on principle at that point. You know,
yeah. I love that your level.
I got $50 into popcorn and three tickets. You know, so I gotta fight through that.
That's great. I love that your level of impatience has gone up as an older person. I appreciate that. Mayor D.C. Reeves, tomorrow night we should have a pretty short city council meeting. Or sorry, next week it should be a pretty short city council meeting. We'll probably talk about that next week. As always, thank you for the time, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Andrew.
And just, you know, in case you're just tuning in and you're not used to our pattern, at 5:30, we always replay the best interview we did from the previous day. So, yes, in saying tomorrow, we're actually saying today. The meeting with the Escambia County Commission and the City Council, and assuming all goes well and Charles Bear's not manning the defenses and bouncing people at the door, the mayor will also be at the, at the meeting today, which I think I caught this somehow. Oh, in the press conference yesterday, I think this meeting is actually taking place at Lakeview. It's not taking place at the county commission or the city council. It's not home turf or visitor turf. It's, you know, location-specific turf. I think that's correct. And if I'm wrong, I'm so sorry about that. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
My grades were bad. I would, like, get D's and C's.
I appeared to be doing good at my school life, but if you would see me at home, it would have been a completely different story.
I mean, it was just rough focusing on school when your mother is somebody you have to take care of. It got worse and worse and worse throughout the years.
There are students who need somebody.
They can trust someone, and it could be the first person they've ever trusted in their life.
Communities and Schools is lowering America's dropout rate by helping more than 1.3 million kids every year get whatever they need to succeed in school.
If something was going on at home, we would go just stop by Miss Liberty's office and talk to her.
Communities and Schools vouched for me when everyone else had lost hope.
You can help change the picture of education right here in your community and across the nation. Visit communitiesandschools.org.
I hear people say we can't save every kid, but I think that we can.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, it's another gallery night in downtown Pensacola from 5 till 10. This month, it's a celebration of Navy Days. See gallerynightpensacola.org for more. Enjoy Florida Lighthouse Day at the Pensacola Lighthouse Saturday from 10 till 3. The free event includes games, activities, and fun for the family. Presented by Florida Arts and Culture. See pensacolalighthouse.org. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 5:58, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, I do want to correct something I said right before the break. I went and looked because I don't know where I'm. I know I heard it in the mayor's press conference yesterday, something about Lakeview being the source of the meeting, but that is their location. The county commission and city council meeting, plus minus the mayor, is... I just don't think that's so silly. Anyway, that's going to be at the Bay Center, which makes sense. Like, they're going to have it at the place where they're talking about the thing that they're meeting in. And if you look at the agenda, welcoming remarks from Escambia County Chair Ashley Hoffberger, District 4, Pensacola City Council President Allison Patton, and City of Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. He's actually on the agenda to speak for the opening remarks, so we'll see. And then there's presentations by Legends Global, by they manage it, and by WT. That's the ones who, you know, the city was looking at their thing. And by the DMO, which is the hoteliers. Also, this is a... I'm going to sound like such a nudge on this, but I've heard several different local, I don't know, news slash comment folks talk about the Destination Marketing Organization, the DMO, as if it's a new thing. It's not a new thing. It's been around for as long as I've been here. So, you know, I've been here since 2014. So it's come and gone in terms of how active it's been, but it's not a new thing. The DMO, or the Destination Marketing Organization, the hoteliers, you know, as their own entity, just trying to make sure that, you know, we're advertising and promoting Pensacola, not through Visit or anything like that, but just kind of independently. That's been around for a long time. Anyway, they are part of the presentation, too. So we're going to hear from a lot of the key stakeholders. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation this morning.